Log Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Alder from AB Motorsports, and you're listening to the Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the April 7th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 75. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be talking race wars, reviewing the upcoming NASCAR action in Texas, talking Trans Am, Road Atlanta, IndyCar and Long Beach, IMSA, and more. Our guest this evening is Michael Olsik. Michael Olsik has a little bit of racing experience, but is mainly only about the Honda life right now. Michael admittedly used to talk bad about Hondas until he drove one and decided they really weren't all that bad. Starting off with a Honda Accord, he has owned literally every type of 90s Honda known to date. So can you tell us a little bit about our guest this evening and what his involvement was in the race wars thing you saw this past weekend?
Well, first, he did a lot of racing at Ephrata Raceway. He raced the Ford Pinto, such as myself. He doesn't really do a lot of, like, the circle track racing anymore. I'm not quite sure why. I think it's because he's from what he told me earlier today, it's because he's just gotten more into building Hondas instead, to each their own, I guess. He didn't really have any involvement this last weekend at Race Wars, but he has raced at Race Wars in the past, and he was there a lot more than I was, so I'm hoping he'll have some interesting stuff to tell us, maybe. But, yeah, he's a nice person. He's not, I mean, I'm kind of judgmental, mostly because the people around here have given Honda a bad name, in my opinion. So, but he's not your typical Honda person, really. He's funny. You know, he's actually really nice. So, I think he'll be able to share a lot of great stuff with us tonight.
Cool. So tell us a little bit more about the race war thing you went to this weekend. What was it about? What did it entail and all that?
Well, it comes twice a year. It's been around for, gosh, I don't even know how long. It's been around for quite a while. It kind of actually started like after Fast and Furious started, so kind of same thing, sort of. I mean, if you're familiar with the movie. Mm-hmm. But Race Wars, it's out on, I can't remember what it's called. I only knew basically what it was because my dad delivers there for his work. But it's kind of just like a makeshift drag strip. And cars from all over, like different, I think the farthest I've seen was from Oregon, but I mean, I didn't go around and look at everybody's license plates, but cars from all over, like literally all over come, and they race their street cars against other street cars. The next day, they end up racing for money, but yeah, and there's a few legit, like, drag cars that show up. I know last year, they had someone bring his Nitro dragster. So, so it's basically just a bunch of people that come up to race each other without, you know, no strings attached or anything, just for fun, basically.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
How many cars do you think were there?
Oh, gosh. Last weekend, I mean, when me and my dad got there, there were cars still piling in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I want to say there's a good couple hundred cars.
Any particular makes that were dominant out there? You mentioned that there were some Hondas and other things, but what was the biggest manufacturer that was represented?
I mean, I would definitely say Honda, just because, I mean, that's pretty popular around here. But, you know, there was a little bit of everything, really. There was Subarus, there was a lot of Mustangs, Camaros, Hondas. So, I mean, there was even trucks. So, there's a little bit of everything that goes out there. It's kind of cool.
What do you think the fastest time was?
I don't know. There was a rumor going around about a Talon that was there that was supposed to be, I think it was like an 8-second car, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though, because I didn't go the second day. But, you know, my friend actually got his car down into the low 15s. So, but there were passes even faster than that. So, yeah, it all just kind of depended on the car, really.
And what's the next big major racing event out there?
The next big major, would have to be this weekend. It's the Apple Cup in Yakima, which is a big street stock late model race. But I think it
actually. You going out there for that?
No, I'm actually going to. This is going to sound really ridiculous because I despise Hondas, but I'm actually going to Honda Fest this weekend. So I was going to go to the Apple Cup. I got invited to go to the Apple Cup, and then I was like, no, I'm going to go check out some Hondas, unfortunately. But I guess it pays like $10,000 to win the Apple Cup, so there's going to be some tempers flaring and tensions rising. It'll be great.
There you go. Should be interesting, then.
Absolutely.
Have you ever competed there?
No, I haven't. I've only ever actually went up and watched the races at Yakima Speedway once. And I didn't really get to enjoy it because I was, like, super sick. It wasn't even intelligent for me to go. But it's a nice track. It's a nice big track. I think it's a half mile, if I remember correctly. But it's a nice big track, and they get a lot of traveling classes that go up there and visit. So I would like to eventually race up there one of these days when my car can handle it, maybe.
And how is your race car prep going? I know you posted pictures of a car that needs a little bit of work.
Oh, she needs a lot of work, but it's actually going good. We had the engine out about a week ago, and because we had it running, and it started making a noise. Go figure. That's literally our luck. And so we had the engine out, and my dad discovered that it was a rod knocking, and then one of the bearings were messed up. So he fixed the rod and the bearing, then he put the engine back together. And yesterday, actually, we got it back in the car, and we started it, and it ran. We didn't run it super long because the radiator and stuff wasn't hooked up yet. And he likes to do that, you know, after we know the engine's not going to have to come back out. And anyways, we had it running for a bit. The oil pressure, though, there was no oil pressure at all, and so he's kind of scared about that. But I think it's just the gauge, but he's up there trying to figure that out. But it's going good, actually. We're definitely making progress, and I think the first race is going to actually be pretty decent.
And when is your first race this season?
It is April 23rd. That is when the big season opener is.
So you got like 3 more weeks.
Yes. So hopefully in that time we can have the car running more than at least 20 seconds and then get any kinks worked out. And we're hoping to have it painted before the first race with Thursday Night Thunder on the side of it. And I don't know, it's just I have a good feeling about this season.
Cool. Well, best of luck. Hopefully you have the Thursday night Thunder car in Victory Lane at least a couple times.
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't end up parked on top of somebody else's car in a funny direction that might make a highlight reel, but wouldn't be very much fun.
No, that doesn't tend to end very well.
Well, now we'd like to welcome Michael Olsik, the Honda enthusiast, to the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, fine, tired.
My co-host says you're
working on my car all this.
Yeah, she says you're really into Hondas. How did you get involved in Honda racing and Hondas in general?
Just friends that did. I used to not like Hondas. I used to talk crap about them, but I mean, you know, just friends got me into them.
And how many have you owned so far?
Well, I would say 10, but I'm pretty sure I've owned more than 10. Like a lot more.
Which one's your favorite? Which one have you done the most work on? Which one do you think is your baby?
I actually have a 96 EK coupe right now, which I'm working on right now. I'm put a lot of money into it. I've had it for 2 years. I haven't really kept a car for more than a year, so I mean, I kind of look at this one as my one.
There's been some talk lately that NASCAR is considering allowing other manufacturers in. One of the rumors is that they're thinking about allowing Honda into the series. Do you think that that would be a good idea?
I actually have been thinking about that for a long time. I think it'd be great, but I just don't know how they would. I know Honda don't have a V8 or anything out right now, and I'm just not too sure how they do VTEC with that, or if they would or not. I'm not too sure. That'd be pretty cool. It'd pretty much be imports versus domestics, like, the whole time, but I think that'd be a cool rivalry.
I know that the Toyota doesn't have very many V8s either, but they kind of have the specialty engine that they're running for NASCAR.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Honda would be able to come up with something similar.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I'm pretty sure, like most Honda owners, if they came out with a V8 Honda motor, they'd probably look to put it in their cars.
Well, now I'll throw you out to Michael Mullally, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
All right.
Well, Michael, how did you feel about last weekend's race wars?
It was all right and everything. It's just I feel like they need to be more organized with their racing. Like, they get the runs, and it's just you got to wait a really long time. Say, you have a friend, you're going to watch the race, and it takes, like, about an hour and a half for them to get up there to race. I mean, I think they need to be more organized about it. Or at least take a bigger place, you know, to where they have, like, at the end of the lane, like, have, like, a runoff to where they can go an opposite way instead of back up the track.
Yeah. I feel like the races should have been more evenly matched, too.
Oh, well, yeah, that, too. But, I mean, that's usually for the second day, for the money bash, the cash bash. So I understand the first day is just, like, play around.
The
second day that I went was pretty good.
Yeah. Do you have any race war experience or any interesting race war stories you could possibly share with us?
Well, yeah. Okay. I guess like a couple of years ago, I had a CRX. I had an H22, and then I raced twice. I mean, it took a long time to wait to just race twice. I won the first race that I raced an Integra with a GSR in it, and he ran off the end of the track. It was crazy. But and then the second race, I raced a boosted S2000, and I got beat by like two cars. It sucked. But it was pretty fun. I mean, if anybody's interested in doing that, I mean, that's what I'd suggest them to do it.
So you kind of already touched on this a little bit, but how do you feel they could improve race wars as a whole? Like, do you have any suggestions?
Like, I think they should I honestly think they should move it to a bigger place because it's going to start getting bigger and bigger every year. As you've seen, like, your first year, there was quite a few people, but I've been going for quite some time, and I've noticed changes. Like, there's a lot more people, there's more vendors, and more cars showing up, and it's just a big, huge scene now. And now they only used to have it once a year. Now they have it the whole weekend and more than once a year. So, I mean, I think it's going to get bigger. Let's hope. Hopefully they do move it to a bigger place so they can get more races in.
Yeah. So, I've went to a lot of car meets with you, and
yeah.
I just kind of want to know what inspired you to get into the car meet scene.
Well, it's kind of like everybody wants to have the nicer car, the faster car. You know, you want to go show off your work, and that's pretty much what it was. Like, I started putting more and more work into my car, and I'm like, hey, I want to show it off, you know, like a couple times, go hang out with some friends. You know how it is. Like, and then my friend Ben Vogg, he just started doing Moses Lake meets, and it just got bigger and bigger. And it's still getting bigger to this day, but I mean, it's that's how it is. It's pretty fun. Until the cops show up, you know, they don't understand, but it's cool.
Yeah. What is the biggest meet you have ever went to?
Honda Fest. That's the best meet, biggest meet I've ever been to. Circuit racing, drag racing, the car show. Just, it's a lot of cool people there. A lot of nice cars. Just a lot. It was cool. I'm gonna go this Sunday again. Hopefully it's better than last year. But it's gonna be the last one, which sucks. I don't know who's gonna take over after these people stop doing it. But hopefully they make it as good as they did.
Yeah. So, just out of curiosity, do you plan on ever getting back into circle track racing, or is Honda's where your heart is kind of at?
I knew you were going to ask me that question. I've actually been thinking about going back to circle track racing, but I just want to complete my project right now. Once it's finished, I might rebuild my motor for my Toyota, but I'm not too sure yet on that. It's just hard. I mean, I just don't want to race Eddie Freda, because, you know, I want to go to another track. I might go to Wenatchee. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Wait, why don't you want to race Eddie Freda?
I've been to both tracks, and I just think overall I feel like Wenatchee is like the better track to race. It looks faster and it's a lot smoother. And I would love the chance to like race there. That'd be cool, you know, because I've never got a chance to race there because I've always been Eddie Freda. It's always been a money issue. So, like, travel, a lot of people already know, understand. I'm pretty sure I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Wenatchee is actually a lot faster than Eddie Freda, mostly because their track is, I mean, I'm not going to talk bad about Eddie Freda, but Wenatchee's track is actually kept up on, whereas Eddie Freda's is just trying to, you know, whatever you want. So.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about, like all the cracks and everything. I don't want to sit here and talk about that.
No. Well.
So other than that, Ephraim is a good track, though.
Yeah. It's a good track for learners.
Yeah. For learners. Oh, man.
You mentioned the budget constraints are an issue. If they weren't an issue, what would be your dream track to compete on?
I've been to Hermiston. I've been to Spokane and stuff, and I really like Wenatchee. I don't know why. I just want to feel how it feels to race on there. I mean, I've had a couple friends race there and stuff, and they say it's really good track. But you know, I would love to go there, but. I mean, it is money issue right now. I spend a lot of money on my Honda, so talking about money in Hondas, it's kind of an addiction, I guess. Like, because when I first started, I would just trade cars. I'd keep trading them, trying to get better ones. But and then I realized, like, I keep trading, I'm not ended up with anything. Like, I don't got anything out of it. I mean, and then I finally kept this car, and the first parts that I got for it, I felt like it was Christmas. It was great. And then from there on, I just wanted to keep getting more and more money and putting it more expensive parts into it. And, I mean, that's how I'm actually putting an exhaust on right now. I got another motor for it. I have a 1.6 right now, but I'm doing a 2.0, and then, yeah, pretty expensive.
And what's your ultimate plan? Are you planning on expanding the Honda thing to become like a custom house, or what's your plan for that?
Well, what do you mean by a custom house?
Well, to customize other people's cars, to work on that sort of thing.
Oh, I'm going to school right now at Big Bend in Moses Lake, Washington. I'm trying to become an automotive mechanic or an automotive tech. I eventually want to open up my own tuner shop, but I mean, right now it's just at home, and I kind of try to stay away from working on other people's cars because I don't want to say I know something and then like me mess it up. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm the best mechanic, but I mean, I do know some Honda stuff, but you know what I'm saying though, like.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to open up my own tuner shop.
Well, we wish you lots of luck in the future, and thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Once again, that was Michael Olczyk, who was gracious enough to come on the program tonight, who has some great experience with Hondas and the Honda Fest and Race Wars and even a little bit of racing experience. Hopefully he has an opportunity to race at the Wenatchee Speedway, and we wish him lots of luck in the future. So who's your pick to win at Texas Speedway NASCAR this weekend?
Truthfully, Kyle Busch.
Okay. Yep. Kyle Busch is definitely on a roll.
Yes, he is.
He's doing better. I think he's having he had that little temper tantrum a couple weeks ago where he didn't show up for his post-race interview, but I think that the thing he did last week with I don't know if you saw the video of him handing out his hat or signing the hat for his race fan as he was sitting in traffic in Martinsville, but that was pretty awesome.
Yes, that was so sweet.
And NASCAR's going to be at Texas this weekend. IndyCar is traveling to Long Beach for the storied Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. That should be an amazing race. It always is. This past weekend, they had the FIA Formula E race there in Long Beach. And so that would actually be a dream race to go to. I think that the track in Long Beach is very similar to what they used to have for the Grand Prix of Miami, where they had the race downtown there. And that was pretty awesome. But there's just something special about racing around in the streets of Long Beach, California.
Yeah, that sounds pretty nice, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Racing by some palm trees.
And the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. Grab a margarita as you go by.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I don't know I don't think that a lot of the stuff transfers from St. Pete to Long Beach. Some of it does because the track is similar, the layout's similar, but definitely doesn't transfer from the race in Phoenix last weekend to Long Beach. I'm thinking that Scott Dixon will probably be on a high from his race in Phoenix, his win in Phoenix last week, but I don't think that he can translate that to a victory in Long Beach. You never know. I'm actually thinking that Graham Rahal might be a favorite there in Long Beach because he's done really well there in the past, and the Honda program is definitely better to keep on the Honda side of things a little bit for a few moments. The Honda program is definitely a little bit better this season than it was last year. The aero package is a little bit different, so it'll be interesting to see how they do that. They have been testing this past week in Indianapolis with the entirely new wing package, which is kind of freaky looking, if you ask me. It's a lot lower. It's flat. It's got a bunch of safety features to discourage the car from flipping over. So they're trying a bunch of different things. I don't think their speed's going to be quite as high at Indianapolis, which will be kind of a bad thing for their 100th anniversary. But it'll be cool to see how they go, and hopefully they have a good race this next weekend and the whole month of May in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Whatever happened with, what was his name? The one that wrecked, he had an ear infection.
Oh yeah, there hasn't been any talk about him lately. I think he ran at Phoenix last week. He didn't run well, but he did run last week. So I think that the willpower should be okay this next week. But he's done okay at Phoenix at Long Beach. I think he's actually won a couple times in the past. But I'm still not 100% sure if he's totally recovered from his health issues. And I think that this race will be another test for that. So hopefully he's a lot better by Indianapolis. Indianapolis is definitely the sort of track where you won't be healthy for going around 500 miles on a nearly 3 mile course. That's not my idea of fun, but definitely an endurance race there.
Yeah, seems like a really long mm-hmm. race.
Well, they're traveling more than 200 miles an hour, so it's not really that long, but it can. It's a lot of going around in circles there. Big high speed circles, but still, it counts.
Yeah, at least they're open wheel though, so it's still kind of pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Another big race this weekend is the Trans Am race at Road Atlanta. And for whatever reason, the Trans Am race this weekend is not going to be a spectator race. Now, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's because the insurance costs for insuring an event where they don't really get that many people, that many spectators to begin with, is a little bit high. I think they might be leaning a little bit too much on the live stream and on the TV coverage for that. But hopefully it's not a sign for some of the series, because the showing up to the racetrack is a lot of the fun about that. And if you eliminate the spectators who are ability to even go to the track, it's not necessarily a good thing for the sport.
Yeah. No, yeah, I can see that. I mean, a lot of people like racing. I mean, half the time, I try to watch it a little more now, but I didn't really pay attention because it's way more fun to be there in person. And yeah,
I actually read a really good column yesterday about the Daytona 200, which is the superbike race, the motorcycle event they have at the Daytona National Speedway. They had, I believe it was about a month ago now, but I'm pretty sure that if you counted the amount of spectators there, you'd be able to do it in a really short order. It was probably a lot more people competing in the race and working on the crews than showed up for the race itself. And that's not really a good thing for the future of motorcycle racing either. There was not very much coverage of it. A lot of people didn't even know, like I was just saying, they don't exactly know even the date that the race took place. So there's, although the NHRA and NASCAR to a certain extent and IndyCar at some of their street courses anyway, seem to be picking up their spectators, there's still definitely a problem with certain series. And I don't think there's a really good answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know. My mom seems to think that racing, like in general, is starting to kind of like die out a little bit, which I think mm-hmm. is like absurd. I mean, I can kind of see like their points sometimes, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, but I hope she's wrong.
Well, I think they'll always be, at least for the, not always, I suppose, but for the foreseeable future anyway, I think there'll be some sort of auto racing, whether it all transfers into the Formula E Robo Racing Series, which is coming up in a few more months, is yet to be seen. But there'll always be some sort of racing around there, because people are just interested in speed. They're interested in seeing all the technology. They're interested in seeing if they can beat out somebody else. And even with the Robo Racing Series, where there aren't actually people in the cars, there's still people behind the scenes who'll be competing. the guys who program the robots, the guys who work on the cars and all that. And there'll still be competition between them and the other teams. So there's always a level of competition. It just depends on whether that level of competition, the level of technology, and even the interest in the automobiles themselves is enough to encourage the average person to come out and watch the race. And that's the big billion-dollar question there. And I'm sure everybody's working on that. I know that the NASCAR has a center that basically analyzes all the different information about that and try to figure out the best way to improve the fan experience. And IndyCar and other series are doing similar things. But I don't really think there's any real answer. It's all a combination of issues. And some of it's budget, some of it's ticket prices, some of it's the cost of the hotel rooms around the area, and some of it's just the fact that you have to make something that people are interested in, something that's cool enough that they think that they have to go see it, that they have to experience it, that they have to watch it. And not just watch it on television, but watch it in person. And if they have a product like that, then they're going to do okay. If they have an issue with a product like that, then they might have a relatively short future.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, you know, like, that's another thing, too. Like, there's a million ways to watch. I mean, I can't think of anything right now. But, like, racing, like NHRA, for instance. I know you can stream it. I'm not quite sure from where, but I know you can. They televise it. They make it so easy for people to not have to go out to the racetrack to watch it because they can just watch it from, I mean, their home.
Yeah.
Which,
but there's something
to
be said for that, too.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it isn't bad either. I mean, especially for the people that can't, you know, afford to pay, what is it, like an outrageous amount for a ticket. Like, I think it's like $40 for an NHRA ticket, you know? So, I mean, somewhere, someone's got to give a little bit.
Yeah. Well, they have to figure out the happy medium. They have to figure out the way they can make money for people to come out to the track, but they can also be low enough for people who they don't feel like they're throwing their entire paycheck or whatever at just a weekend at the racetrack.
Yeah.
I know NASCAR has worked on, in the past, they've worked on trying to get the hotel rates to be lower and to reduce the minimum number of nights you have to stay. But NASCAR is notorious, at least in most of their tracks, about not wanting to reduce prices. I mean, they'll stop increases for a while, but you're never going to see them, well, you hardly ever see them reduce the prices. For Homestead, for example, the last time I physically paid for a race ticket, which is a couple of years now, but the last time I paid for a race ticket, it was a fairly bad seat, and it still cost $75 to get there. So that's still a little pricey pretty much for everybody's budget now. So if you consider the $75, let's just say that, for the cost of the ticket, then you've got at least $100 for a hotel stay for most people, because there's a lot of people who travel for those sort of races. And then you've got the cost of food, the $1 cheap hot dog, and it just adds up really, really quick, and it can be a pretty pricey weekend.
Yeah.
But still, there's nothing better than actually going to the track, because it's a huge difference than watching on television. There's a lot more stuff you can see, the experience itself, the noises, the fact that the ground is rumbling under your feet, and the air is filled with all different sorts of smells. And it's just something to do, and it's really an amazing thing. And hopefully, a lot of people still keep doing that. I know that there's some issues with all sorts of motorsports, but it does seem like the people are starting to go back out to the track a little bit anyway, and hopefully they keep going for the for a while longer. It's a great experience. It's a great way to spend time.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of like, it's kind of like another thing. Like, it is, I mean, it is a great experience. I haven't really went to any huge circle track races, but, you know, as I said before, NHRA at my house was like a tradition every year until we started racing. And, you know, and it is, it's a really great experience, and it is, it's a lot of fun, but... You know, it's kind of sad that, like, there are people that probably won't, in a way, I mean, get to experience how amazing it is to, you know, watch your Coke fall off the bench because the cars went by so fast, you know, and it's all because of, you know, money.
Everything's expensive.
Absolutely.
And it's all really really relative. It depends on how much money you're willing to spend. If that's your major vacation for the year and you plan on doing that sort of thing, that's great. That's the expense you're planning for. But it shouldn't be that. It should be there should be enough that they're making money, but not so much that that's going to be your only thing you're going to do for the year. And I don't know what the magic formula is, and I'm pretty sure they don't either. But there has to be something. Something has to give. Something has to improve. Whether it's the economy taking a major zoom forward, which doesn't show any signs of doing that, or whether it's them actually lowering prices, which I think pretty much every racing series is afraid of doing. But there's definitely something that has to happen, because even with the NHRA race at Gainesville, there was probably only about 60% of the grandstands were full, which is good, considering that at some of the other tracks in the country, the grandstands, if they're 25% full, they're busy. But still, like 20 years ago, the grandstands were totally full, and there was a 5-deep thing at the standing on the fence line, and it's definitely not that way anymore. Now, the question is whether it's an interest thing, whether it's an economy thing, where there's a convenience thing, and there's all sorts of issues out there. But as I stated a few minutes ago, there's nothing really like going to the track itself, and that's the big deal. Going out there, you can watch it on TV all you want, but you'll never feel the blower belt exploding at the on the ground, and you're staying way up at the top of the grandstands, and you can actually feel your chest vibrating from the blower thing going off, or the huge clouds of smoke coming towards you, where the insane people who are inhaling the nitro fumes in the pit area. There's always something that's interesting and fun at the racetrack that you can do, and hopefully people take advantage of that. They actually keep going, and they can find out a way, and hopefully the economy improves a little bit, so people are able to afford a little bit better. But also the people in the sanctioning bodies are able to understand that their prices might still be a teeny bit too high for most of the people they consider to be their fans to show up at the track. And if they can tweak that a teeny bit, no matter how they tweak it, it'll be better for the sport in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you're right. There's a million different things that play into it. But I don't know. I feel like, personally, and, you know, yeah, it costs a lot of money to do anything, really, but I don't know. I kind of feel like these tracks kind of milk it a little bit, and, you know, which is fine. They have people that they have to pay, too, but, you know, I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's a little outrageous sometimes.
Well, speaking of outrageous, you can always go down to Barrett Jackson Palm Beach this weekend and spend $1 million for a Corvette.
That is outrageous.
But I'm sure that somebody will be willing to pay that, because last year they did that when they got into the bidding war between Rick Hendrick and John Stulupi. They paid just over $1 million for the first car to roll off the line. I believe it was a Corvette. And this year they'll be auctioning off the next generation Corvette, which will also be a charity auction. And it'll probably make $1 million too. The wealthy people have a lot of disposable income, some of them more disposable than others.
But
for those of you, those of us who aren't quite wealthy, you can always go out there for less than $30 a day and wander around and see one of the biggest car shows in the state of Florida at Bear Traction, which is basically all it is. And there's all sorts of cars from all different eras. This year, I believe it's on Friday, they'll be auctioning off two of William Shatner's cars, which will both be for a little bit for charity and a little bit for William Shatner. But there'll be autographed cars. One of them is a Phaeton, the Volkswagen Phaeton, which is it's an interesting car. It's probably not as good as they're putting it out to be. I know the Phaeton itself in 2006 had some issues, especially in California. But you can research that yourself if you're interested in bidding on it and have fun with it. But they're also auctioning off another one of those cars. I think it's an Aston Martin. And those are just two of the marquee cars. Tonight, they actually have going on as we're speaking. I believe Vanilla Ice is giving a concert out there at the fairgrounds for opening night of the Bear Traction auction. So should be a good weekend. I'm going to head out there on Saturday and see what's going on. I know they've got all sorts of display booths there. They've got the mother's booth for waxes and other sorts of things. This year they actually have all sorts of seminars about the collector car industry and some about the different cars that are going to be there. So it should be an interesting weekend. That opens tomorrow at the South Florida Fairgrounds. Now you can check out Barrett Jackson, their website, or they're on Facebook as well. You can also visit the Palm Beach Happening. I did a couple of articles on Barrett Jackson so far this week, and there'll be one coming up on Speedway Digest either later today or probably tomorrow. So we'll be sure to check that out.
Yeah. What kind of car are you looking for this weekend?
Good question. I don't know. There's always something cool out there. A few years ago, they had the Shelby Cobras. They had a bunch of those. Those are always neat. They've had the bunch of collector the kit car type things you assemble pretty much in your garage. Some of those are pretty awesome. They had a Russian sports car out there a couple of years ago that looked pretty cool. They had some cars from Fast and the Furious before. They had the car from Need for Speed. That was pretty neat looking. That was there, I believe, last year. So there's always something cool. But they don't have any marquee things this year, aside, of course, from the William Shatner thing they've been promoting way too much. But there's no big NASCAR cars they've advertised anyway. They've got a few Camaros that are kind of neat looking. I'm sure when they get out there, they're going to have the new Viper is going to be there. I think they're going to be giving rides in a Viper. So you can always buy me a Viper. There you go. Wouldn't fit in the driveway very well, but wouldn't be very practical for me and the dog, or me and my wife either, but it'll work for a little while.
That's all that matters.
Exactly. There any sort of collector car auctions out in your neck of the woods there?
Heck no. Well, no. It's a pretty basic around here. I mean, occasionally, not like, you know, like anything huge, but there's this auction. I don't remember what it's called. See, that's how much I pay attention to it.
Exactly.
But they auction off, like, usually farm equipment. But, I mean, they'll have, like, trucks sometimes or Stingray or two. You know, it's about it. It's kind of lame, really. You live in a great, I don't want to say state, even though that is what it is, but you live in like a great atmosphere, I should say, for motorsports, like all around.
Mm-hmm. It'll be cool to see what sort of racing things they have there too. Because the past few years they've had some pretty awesome NASCAR related stuff. They've had some IndyCar things. Last year they actually had the Cadillac that competed in IMSA for a few years, and they had all the winning drivers written on it. So that was kind of neat. Hopefully they have something like that this year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. If you see a 2004 to 2006 Subaru STI, you can send that my way.
Exactly. I'll take a picture and say, yep, it only went for $40,000. So. Actually, tomorrow's cars probably are actually more reasonable, but it really depends on what you're looking for, because some of them are, they're probably $20,000 or less for most of the cars that go out on Friday, except for the ones they have on television later in the evening, and those they stack up to make it seem like they're a bigger deal. Saturday and Sunday are definitely the high dollar days, but Friday is generally the average person day. So. And apparently they still have slots open for bidders. So if you're interested, just go to Barrett Jackson. I believe it's Barrett-Jackson.com, but don't quote me on that. Just look it up in your favorite search engine, Barrett Jackson. And you can sign up to bid on cars. You can even sign up to bid from your home sitting there in Ephrata, Washington, and click in and bid on all the cars online and give your dad a really big heart attack when he finds out you just purchased like 5 cars from the Barrett Jackson auction.
That would be something.
There you go. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar, or simply by going to Facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. This week, we've covered several different motorcycle races, as well as reviewed the recent IndyCar race in Phoenix, the NHRA event in Las Vegas, the IHRA race in Texas, and more. We are currently working on a new story about Barrett Jackson, as I stated a few moments ago, to be posted on the site in the next day or so. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening. This can be found by visiting palmbeachhappening.com or by going to palmbeach.happeningmag.com. We've covered a bit of the run-up to the Barrett Jackson in the magazine this week, and we'll be publishing more in the days to come.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome, when we will get trucking with former ARCA standout and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series hopeful Allie Owens, as well as Taz, oh gosh, Grayla, driver of the number 33 Allegiant Travel Chevrolet Silverado in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
Have a nice weekend, and we'll see you again next week.